Let's go to Israel first this morning, to Tel Aviv, where, as you heard in the bulletin, the office of the Prime Minister there says a deal to release the hostages has been agreed, and where our Deputy Foreign Editor Edmund Heafy is this morning. The latest this morning, Edmund, as you understand.
Well, Gavin, as you said, we had that statement from the office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the early hours of this morning, saying that they had overcome those last minute hurdles with Hamas, and that the ceasefire and hostage deal had been agreed. Now, what they have confirmed is that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will convene the security cabinet. This is a smaller subsection of the overall cabinet, to hold a vote on the deal today. But I'm saying that a vote of the full cabinet would then follow. But what is not clear is when that full vote will follow. And there's some suggestion here in Tel Aviv that that vote may not occur until Saturday, which would then very much potentially delay the beginning of Sunday's ceasefire by a day. The Times of Israel is quoting a spokesperson for Benjamin Netanyahu, saying that the full cabinet meeting isn't slated to take place until Saturday night, and they're citing the fact that opponents of a deal in Israel must be given time in the Israeli justice system to petition the Israeli High Court if they disagree with the deal, and then a meeting on Friday afternoon would not give them enough time to do that, particularly because of the Sabbath in Israel, which is the religious holiday. Now, there are some exceptions to that usually, but I think we're looking at a potential delay to the beginning of the ceasefire, even though the White House had been saying late last night that they saw no signs of a delay to it.
Could there be resignations from the Israeli government? Will that make any difference?
Well, look, it looks very, very much like we're going to see the resignation of National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir if the deal is approved by the Israeli cabinet. Now, he's the leader of one of the far-right factions in Benjamin Netanyahu's government. Now, Mr. Netanyahu would initially, when he came to power in December 2022, been really reliant on the support of Itamar Ben-Gvir and his party. But since October 7th, there's been an expansion of the coalition, a kind of unity government, Ben-Gvir has been unable to convince his far-right colleague, Finance Minister Bezalel Smotrich, to make the same threat. And Smotrich is the leader of a second far-right party within the coalition. So without Smotrich backing out, Mr. Netanyahu's government will very much maintain a majority.
I hope Edmund is still there.
Deal.
Yes.
So for the moment, it looks like Mr. Netanyahu maintains enough votes keep this deal and get it across the line.
A little bit of interruption to the line there. We'll continue on, Edmund, and hope it stays up. As you mentioned, the ceasefire may not begin now until Monday. The health ministry in Gaza says that more than 80 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli strikes since the announcement of the ceasefire earlier this week. Why is Israel continuing to bomb Gaza?
Well, Gavin, this is actually quite typical. It's tragic and utterly devastating, given the brutal onslaught that Gaza has been subjected to. But before a ceasefire, both sides tend to step up their campaigns. So when a deal does come into effect, it's then very obvious that they have stopped fighting when the ceasefire actually comes into effect. So I think we're going to continue to see fighting over the next few days. You're going to see strikes in either direction. Obviously, the Israeli strikes are more impactful, but it's no surprise to me that we are seeing a continuation of fighting right up until the last moment when the ceasefire comes into effect.
All going according to plan. What's expected to happen from Sunday or from Monday, as the case may be now?
So this first phase of the deal will begin a 42-day first phase of the deal. Now, what we do know is that during that 42 days, we're expecting the release of 33 hostages, women and children first, followed then by female soldiers, and then men over the age of 50, and then young men who fit particular criteria. But the talk here is that I think on day one of the deal, we might only see 3 hostages released, and that there will be a phased release over a couple of weeks. In exchange for that, then, Israel is saying that they will release about 2,000 Palestinians who've been in prison in Israel, including around 250 who had been sentenced to life imprisonment. And then the IDF will begin to withdraw from areas of Gaza, particularly the Netzarim corridor, which is a zone of occupation that Israel has been maintaining that splits up the Gaza Strip down the middle. And then it's also reportedly going to reduce its presence on what's known as the Philadelphia Corridor, which is a strip of land along the border between the Gaza Strip and Egypt.
How are people where you are reacting to what's been happening this week?
Well, Gavin, there were protests last night from people who were opposing the ceasefire. There was people carrying mock coffins and blocking roads and scuffling with police and trying to disrupt traffic. Now, they weren't big protests, and security forces managed to disperse them. I think overall in Tel Aviv, you can feel a collective exhale, I would say. I don't think people are brimming with hope or massively thrilled that it's taken so long to get to a point where hostages are being released. And it's a point that I would make as well, that in Israel, this deal is being described as a hostage deal, whereas across the world, it's more broadly described as a ceasefire deal of bringing an end to the devastation in Gaza, whereas the focus in Israel always has been on the fact that there are so many hostages still remaining in Gaza. And I think the relief really is focused on the fact that it looks very much like there's a beginning of a process to start getting them back out of there.
What are the protests about then?
Well, these are people who believe that the war in Gaza should continue and that Israel should continue its war aim of totally dismantling and destroying Hamas. But again, there's also massive unhappiness at the fact that people believe that Israel's military campaign has been carried out at the expense of hostages, that Benjamin Netanyahu's government has not had getting hostages back as its main and first held priority, which is what most people in Israel believe should have been the main goal of the war, rather than an onslaught that has killed tens of thousands of people and seemingly not achieved the goal of fully and totally destroying Hamas.
Edmund, thank you. That's our deputy editor, Edmund Heafy, live from Tel Aviv this morning.